assure you that it is me, even though I haven't got my glasses on. I have got contact lenses in, so I can really see, which you all appreciate. The other thing I need to kind of tell you is, I actually really kind of need you to participate. There's a question I'm going to ask. I'd quite like you to answer it. I mean, if you don't, I will answer it, but I would really like you to be able to answer it. Okay, I'm going to tell you three stories this afternoon. One of them is not in John 3, the other two are. Each story I'm going to paraphrase, so I'm not reading it directly from the Bible. I'm going to kind of ad-lib a little bit. But then we are going to read the middle section of John as it is in the Living Bible translation, and there's something later I'll read from the NIV. So if you've got your Bibles open, great. I'm just warning you, it may not be exactly as written on your page. Okay, so I'm going to tell you three stories. The question is going to be, what's the similarity in them? What's the link? Okay, so first story, Matthew 21. Jesus is in the temple courts and he's teaching. And the Pharisees are like, who gave you the authority to come and say that? Who gave you the right to come and speak like that? And Jesus, ever aware of a trap, is like, okay, well, I'll answer your question if you answer mine. John's baptism. Where did that come from? Where did John get his authority? Was it from God, or was it from himself and from man? The Pharisees are now getting a little bit like, he's caught us out. Because if we say John's baptism is from God, John is saying that Jesus is the Messiah, that means we have to say Jesus is the Messiah. We don't like that. We don't want to do that. Can't give him that option. But if we say John the Baptist's authority is of himself, it's from man, it's an earthly authority, we're a bit stuck because all the people know that he's from God. We're going to look a bit stupid. We can't give him that answer either. So the Pharisees say, we're not going to answer your question. At which point Jesus says, well, I'm not going to answer your question either. That's the first story. Second story, Nicodemus, also one of the Pharisees, comes to Jesus and says, sir, we know that your teaching has authority from God, and all your signs and miracles that you do prove it. So Jesus says, yes, so listen to me when I say that you must be born again. Grown man can't go back inside his mum's belly. He can't be born again. Jesus is like, listen to me, Nicodemus. You have to be born of the water and the spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. Why are you so surprised? And Nicodemus is a bit like, well, I am. I don't really get what you're on about. And Jesus is like, you're one of Israel's teachers, and you don't get it. There's no hope of you understanding what I have to tell you, knowing that I have come from heaven. We're going to leave that story there and go to our third one. Okay, in our third story, we have John the Baptist, who is at the river, baptizing people, just like he normally does. And he's got disciples with him, which is also very normal. And the disciples come running up to John and they say, John, that person that you spoke about and you baptized last week or whatever it was, you know, the one that you said was the Lamb of God or the Son of God or something like that, everybody's going to him. And John the Baptist is like, yeah, that's the way it should be. I've told you, he is the Son of God. He's the one from God. He's the one who knows what he's talking about. He's the one from heaven who has authority of God. Of course people should go to him. That's what I'm telling you. He must get greater. I must become less. What's your problem? Okay, there's your three stories. Now it's your turn. What's the link?
Authority from God.
fantastic. Thank you very much. So glad you're back. Okay, so in each of those stories, there is a question about where the authority of the person comes from. Yes? So with the Pharisees, they want to know who Jesus gets his authority from, and Jesus turns around and says, well, tell me where John the Baptist gets his authority from. And then with Nicodemus, he comes to Jesus and says, I know that your authority comes from God. And then John the Baptist again testifies, Jesus is the one with all authority. But there's something else linked to that. So anybody want to have a go at what the part B is? Okay, in each of them there is also an element of, there's a response to this authority. So the whole problem for the Pharisees is that they have to decide where John the Baptist's authority comes from, and that requires a response in a certain direction. Nicodemus comes to Jesus and says, I know your authority comes from God. And Jesus says, well, in that case, Nicodemus, you must do this. And John the Baptist says, Jesus has all authority, go to him and do what he says. Okay. Now, in light of those three stories, I want to read to you John chapter 3, verses 16 to 21. It's on screen there. Excellent. Okay. I'm going to add just two words at the end of one sentence just to really make the link for us. Okay. But hear this in light of those three stories. For God, who is in heaven, loved the world so much that he gave his only son, so that anyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send his son from heaven into the world to condemn it, but to save it. There is no eternal doom awaiting those who trust him to save them. But those who don't trust him have already been tried and condemned for not believing in the only Son of God. And their sentence is based on this fact, that the light from heaven came into the world, but they loved the darkness more than the light, for their deeds were evil. They hated the heavenly light because they wanted to sin in darkness. They stayed away from that light for fear that their sins would be exposed and they would be punished. But those doing right come gladly to the light and let everyone see that what they are doing is of God. This statement in the middle of John chapter 3 says Jesus has all authority from God because he was sent by God and sent with the purpose of saving us. But there's a response that's required. The world isn't saved simply because Jesus came. People are saved when they trust in Jesus and obey him. Jesus has all authority, but it requires a response from us. And this bit talks about how those who hide from God and his light just prove that they are doing wrong. And those that come into the light of God prove that God is right, essentially. So, as I look around the room, I'm fairly sure that most people here have made that decision and are convinced that Jesus is the ultimate authority and from heaven, and that therefore we are required to obey him, to follow him, to trust him. But my reminder this afternoon is that's not a one-off decision. That's not a choice that gets made once. It's an ongoing choice. It's a way of living. And so, I wonder what God is saying to you here now this afternoon. Because whatever he's saying to us requires a response. And so it's possible that this afternoon God is saying, come nearer, come close. Come close enough that I can whisper in your ear. But it's also possible God is saying, stop, don't do that. Or it might be that God's saying, I love you. I love you so much. You should rejoice and delight in the fact that I love you. But again, it might be that God is saying, go, pack up your few belongings, sell what you don't need, go to the place where I am leading you. It could be any of those things and more. And I am really glad that it's not my job to tell you what God is saying this afternoon. I'm really glad that the Father sent the Son to save us, but I'm also really glad that the Son sent his Spirit to live in us, to teach us, to guide us, empower us. And so, what I want us to do is spend a bit of time just listening to God this afternoon and hearing what he wants to say to us, in order that we will respond and obey. Now, I'm aware that we would like to have tea and coffee together. That's a good thing to do, okay? So, in a sense, the time here is going to be quite short. So I remind you that God will speak to you at home as much as he speaks to you here. So feel free to continue the conversation later. But also I want to say, actually, if God is really speaking to you now, you don't have to rush and take tea and coffee. You could just stay where you are and continue to listen to God, even as other people go about what they're doing. I will give as long as I feel is right, and let's pray that I get that right. But I want to pray for us and then leave some time. There'll be some music playing, just because I'm aware that silence can sometimes make us really conscious of every creak of every chair and every cough and every movement that your neighbour makes. So there'll be music playing, but it's not there to distract you. It's not there for you to kind of focus on the music. It's just as background noise. So enough from me. Let me pray for us.